We say in Bible studies we should pray for a Christian friend, read our Bible more, and then the opportunities either come up and we don't use them, or they don't come up and we feel guilty that we're not making the most of the time. And so John's talk this morning has really helped remind me of the motivation to share the gospel is that needs to come first. Like, if we love God and we love those and we have a love for those that we meet to repent, then that's going to overflow in us speaking about Jesus. I remember we sang this morning, "Unnumbered souls are dying." That struck me too, that actually in the last 6 months, that's been true. I mean, not so much my friends, but my parents have a number of friends who've died, and my colleagues know people who died. And so that really does focus the mind that if I'm not wanting to share the gospel when actually, you know, people may only have another 8 weeks to go, and then when am I going to share? And it's reminded me of this sense of, oh Lord, send someone else. That when the only interactions you have with colleagues is essentially speaking to camera, which I was petrified of doing before we all went into lockdown, then there's nowhere to hide. So the only way to do it is to speak on camera to someone. And it's much easier to sort of retreat and just get on with your work. So that's the challenge that I've been finding. Over to Will.
Great. I think Eve's online. Maybe we'll let her to introduce herself first, and then we'll carry on question one. Eve, over to you.
Do I just introduce myself? Okay. So I'm Eve. I work as a secondary math teacher in North London. Yeah. So lockdown has been weird for teachers, I guess. So since September to December, we were teaching in school, but since Christmas, we've been teaching from home. So it's really different.
Great. So finding myself similar, being like Jonah, I think definitely a lot of times it's very easy to feel very self-centered. At home. So can you hear me actually? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, also keep fish. So quite lots of similarities. I found there are lots of distractions at home and just constantly diverting my attention from, you know, sharing the gospel with my colleagues. I think the challenge being, I think quite similar to other people, I think maintaining the relationship with my colleagues have been difficult. And I definitely missed the small chats in the office. So I used to have a colleague who attended the lunchtime talk with me very regularly, but ever since the lockdown, it's very hard to get him kind of joining online. Whereas back in the office, it might be easier just go to his desk and just talk to him and say how you're doing. And so on. Sometimes it's hard to feel, not just having a very easygoing conversation. It's hard, I think. And also recently I changed my job, so it's been a bit hard to get to know the colleagues. I've never been to the office. I've never actually seen the real person, so it's been hard. Next, I think it's Joanne.
Yeah, I guess I completely agree with what everyone has said so far. So being at home during lockdown has been really challenging in terms of, I think, just being, for me at least, being more selfish in my thinking. I think it's as if I'm living in a little bubble, and it's as if it's just me and Ethan, and sometimes it's just very easy for me to just think about our welfare and our interests. So in that sense, it's been quite a challenge from an internal motivation point of view. As Will mentioned as well, I think not being in the office and not being around colleagues has pretty much been an out of sight, out of mind concept for me. So not seeing them has made me just not think about them, honestly. And when I do see them on virtual calls and all that, it's always about work, and it's very focused conversations. So in that sense, I think it has been quite challenging. So just thinking through after today's two talks, I think I'm very much similar to Jonah in that even though I'm not actively or physically running away from my task or the commission, but I think the inaction is pretty much the same as what he has done. Yeah, so those are my struggles so far.
I have one more thing to add. So I don't know about you guys. I mean, if I'm honest, lockdown to me, it's almost like, this is great. I have perfect excuses for not sharing gospel with my colleagues because I don't see them. I don't have lunch with them. So you can't blame me for not sharing the gospel because it's simply not possible because of my wicked heart. This is what I'm thinking. But I guess just like what others are saying, there are a lot of challenges, but I think the real problem is whether I'm willing to share or not.
Thanks all. So we've seen, all of us, I'm sure, share the same reasons. It's more difficult now, requires more intentional effort. There's more screen fatigue. Other things can seem more appealing, such as learning new recipes or Netflix and so on, than trying to build, get into contact with people. So I think now we can go and discuss two things in our breakout groups for 10 minutes. First is, kind of just how are we finding it in talking to people about the gospel? And secondly, if there's any questions you want to ask, because when we come back together for questions 2 and 3, you can put any questions you have in the chat and we'll try to pick them up. So 10 minutes.
Please think of lots of questions, otherwise it's going to be a very dull session.
Great. So I think we're all back. So now we'll discuss... the five of us will discuss questions 2 and 3 for about 25 minutes. And at any time, you can put questions in the chat and we'll try to pick them up. So for question 2, how do you remind and encourage yourself to reach people with the gospel? So this is kind of the motivation for it. Maybe Joe, you can start.
Sure. Well, to be honest, I'm not really very good at reminding myself. Often forget, and perhaps I think it's a reflection of how it's not actually on the top of my agenda. But I think one useful thing that I tried to do, and often forget as well, as you can see, I'm a forgetful person, but I think praying in the morning really helps. So I found that if I do wake up and I pray, asking God for opportunities to share the gospel, then it really helps shape the day. I found that when I pray, I'm often very much more intentional in terms of what I speak to people about. And it's actually, you realize that there are opportunities when speaking to colleagues. For example, when they ask you like how the weekend has gone, or they ask you what you've been thinking about recently. You know, these are opportunities where you can actually share. I wouldn't say the gospel always, but share a little bit about maybe Jesus or share about our faith. I suppose being surrounded by people is another thing that helps remind me and helps me keep going. So being surrounded by Christian friends who have evangelism at the top of their agenda really helps. So just hearing about their endeavors and what they've been doing at the workplace, that has been a real encouragement to me. Anyone else wants to chip in? Derek, Will, we?
Sorry, Derek, I'm
twice in a row. On that idea of praying, one thing I'm trying to do is to use the time. It's so frustrating when your computer freezes or you have to reboot or something. Try and use that time to pray for the people you're going to meet in the rest of the day. And it always takes a while for the computer to start up first thing in the morning. Maybe you've got one of these that just ping and it's open, but mine isn't. Use that time to pray with people later in the day rather than scrolling through news on your phone while you're waiting for the computer to start.
Yeah, I think, again, setting kind of a fixed schedule to pray for colleagues in the prayer mate, that helps me because I'm not very organized. But if there's something reminds me once in a while, once in a week, then I can pray for them. Another thing is I recently read a book called Honest Evangelism. I think it's quite similar to the one we mentioned this morning about the one called Intentional. This one thing really struck me is the book says, oh, you know that God is powerful. He plays your colleagues in your life, so there's no need for fear, and also got his heart for the lost to be saved. And so you can have the same kind of passion to reach out to them. But if this reason don't move you to share the gospel, then the author is saying that it might be a reason for you not to share the gospel, which is you might have an idol in your life that you rather worship than, you know, and obeying God. I think that really struck me. For me, I think there are a lot of things I will feel excited about that is not sharing the gospel. Maybe in those moments, I will also remind myself, though, these are good things in life, but then am I actually having the same kind of excitement, passion, sharing the gospel to my colleagues?
Yeah, just to add, I mean, reading through this book, Jonah, really helped me as well. Like weak people like us, weak people like Jonah, even though he doesn't want to share the gospel, God is still sovereign. He's still in charge. And like nothing can stop God proclaiming his own word and also expanding his own kingdom. And also what I found like useful or helpful is talking to mission partners attending St. Helens prayer meeting. So it gives me a bigger view of what is going on in the whole world rather than just focusing on my small world. So hearing how ministry is going on the other side of the planet. I mean, especially thinking about those who are doing ministry in China, for example, really excites me and then kind of encourages me to keep proclaiming gospel. Yeah.
I'd like to stay on the line for at least another half an hour to our next session.
So Ben has asked one question in the chat. So yeah, kind of how do we stay motivated as Christians to reach people who kind of don't care or not interested and not interested in hearing about Jesus and the gospel?
Can I kick us off with a slightly left field answer? Which is sometimes just to be realistic, there are things like first contact evangelism is going to be a lot harder if you're at home and not a desk job, and the only people you're meeting is on Zoom. So some things are going to be harder. And maybe I was reminded of this example of a taxi driver that always goes out to work until he's earned a fixed amount of money. And when there's no one on the street, he works until 11, 12 o'clock at night and before clocking off. And when there's loads of people on the street, he finishes work by 11 a.m. and goes home for the rest of the day. Now, clearly, that's crazy. He should be spending his time when there's loads of people on the street working all day. And when there's no one to pick up, he should probably be spending some time repairing his taxi so that he's better placed for the next busy day. And maybe that's the same with us. So there are some ways that are easier to share, which is... beforehand, I would never have had so many one-to-one, face-to-face conversations exclusively in an open plan office. That doesn't happen. Now you can have one-to-one exclusive conversations with people where you can cover much deeper personal, more personal, you know, appropriate, but personal topics than you could in an open plan office. And yet there's other things that are really difficult. So rather than bashing away and trying to do the same things, we maybe just need to look around for what we can do and focus on that and not worry so much that actually, there'll be other ways, other face-to-face opportunities that we're just going to have to wait until a bit later in the year.
Find ways to connect with people that allows us to talk about the gospel.
Yeah, I agree. And I guess to address Ben's question, I think it's completely right that many of our colleagues and people around us will not want to listen to the gospel. I think there's so many other distractions, but perhaps something that could motivate us would be motivated by reminding ourselves about what their end state will be, which is, unfortunately, if you don't believe in God, you will be condemned and not be given eternal life. And also, I suppose, yes, we get to know these people better, not just as colleagues, but as friends. And hopefully as treasured friends, we will really care for their souls. And I suppose it's a bit like a family member, right? You do want the best for them. So if you do want the best for them, that hopefully should motivate us. Not sure if that's helpful.
So it's like what we've heard earlier in Jonah as well, kind of always remembering how great kind of salvation is that, that God has given us, and then how our family, friends, and colleagues who might not be interested, but they need it, they need this salvation from God. And kind of, I guess the second thing to that is also like always remember that it is the gospel that has the power to bring life and immortality, not anything else that we can do. So we have to share the gospel with them eventually. And yeah. I think some of us mentioned, it's very hard on the kind of people might not be interested, but we can be mutually encouraged by one another, by partnering together and praying together as Christians. Mm.
Can I just add one other thing? It's not, never a good idea to answer the same question twice, sorry. But I have in mind a bit of a sort of pyramid idea that I think Ben's totally right. Most people are not interested about the gospel, and that's mainly because they've considered a false or a children's gospel in the past, or maybe they're just, you know, very open about the fact they're pursuing money and career and family and so on. But it means, I think, we need to be like the parable of the sower, broadcast the seed. And I wonder if sometimes we big up in our head this idea of an important gospel conversation, and we pray for exactly the right words, and then we bottle it when the opportunity comes. Whereas actually, my experience has been that there are lots of opportunities to sow very, very basic, small things, just joining a call a few minutes early. If you join a Zoom room, you know, a few minutes before the meeting starts, say something small about God, or about, you know, what you've been doing at the weekend church, or just get something small in there and just have lots of those conversations. If you have 100 of those and 5 of them lead to a one-to-one conversation, it's probably good odds across the year. And in any case, God, Jesus is glorified by us doing that. I think setting a expectation that we're open to talking about God, even expecting that most of the time it's going to fall on deaf ears, most people aren't interested, but God is calling some of those people God may be particularly working in, and unless we go fishing, we're never going to find those people, humanly speaking.
Yeah, exactly. If people like don't even know Jesus, how can they be interested in Jesus anyway? Like I have had like colleagues who openly said, don't waste time on me, I'm not interested in Jesus whatsoever. But what I found since lockdown was, life is hard, everyone find it hard, so they're willing to talk about their struggles in life, and then it's my time to share how the certainty in future because of what Jesus has achieved on the cross helped me to go through so many uncertainties in life. And then I think they listen, even though previously they are not interested in Jesus at all, but I feel like our hope has real meaning for our life here and now. So just be honest about what you believe, and then tell them how Jesus has helped you, even though things are out of control. But I guess that is also a way of sharing the gospel with people around me.
So we've kind of moved on to question 3 now, so we can chat about that, which is kind of how do we go about doing so. So question 3 is, how have you tried or are planning to overcome the challenges to have gospel opportunities with people at this time? And Joe has asked, any creative ways have you come up to share the gospel? Any of us wants to start?
Sorry, were you going to say something?
Well, I will share something then. What I've tried to do, one small thing is about this setting this culture of talking more personally, which I think is uniquely possible when now we're meeting online. And so I've just set up a series of regular meetings with lots of people. So I have a half an hour a week with my direct report, about half an hour a fortnight with a lot number of my peers. And I've actually put in 15 minutes a month with some more senior colleagues, just to set that dynamic of regular keeping in touch. And if they're too busy, they'll cancel it. We may need to move it, but it creates those small opportunities that actually things come up that aren't worth scheduling a meeting for, but actually are worth talking about when now that you're there. Each person's work culture will be different, but certainly in an office, I've always found having one-to-one conversations are more productive than in a big group. That's more about me than my office, but cases sort of work cutting with the grain, working with that. And it's surprising. So, I mean, just a few days ago, we were talking about the sort of the culture of meritocracy in my office encourages people to put themselves forward, show their own capability, and claim the sort of claim, or some people's words, steal the credit for successes. And we're able to share that actually following Jesus means we have a different value system. I don't mind if someone else gets the credit. I mean, we need to be seen as, we're told to be, that God shows his power through weakness. I don't mean, he doesn't show his power through incompetence, but through often people who have a lack of power, and it's fine if other people take the credit. It doesn't bother me. But connecting that with my faith provided a starting point that, I mean, it didn't, we've talked about it for a minute or so, but it may go somewhere next time, but I'm just trying to be open and creating that time for people to be honest about how things actually are, rather and to sort of take the professional mask off.
Yeah, I think similarly, now with lockdown and working from home, it's been difficult to like meet people at the coffee machine and have those casual conversations. So similarly, I've been trying to put in time with colleagues on a recurring basis, because I realized that it's quite awkward, at least I find it quite awkward, to suddenly say, oh, do you want to come for Christmas, or do you want to come for some random, sorry, not random, but some event at church, without actually knowing like how they've been generally as a person. So I think having those recurring casual conversations outside of work meetings has been quite useful in just getting to know how they've been personally. And as they open up, I suppose you yourself can open up, and as you share about your life, I think it's not always necessary to say, oh, this is what I believe, and that Jesus died on the cross, I'm a sinner and all that. But through your life, you can share your faith about Jesus. So, yeah.
We recently got to know one of our neighbors very well through where we are kind of dog walking. So it's kind of a very nice opportunity just when you are outside and walking the dogs. So we get to know them quite well. And at some point we invited them for the Chinese New Year event, even though they didn't eventually show up, but I think that was a good starting point. And I think also another question about senior colleagues. So I just, I started my job about 3 months ago. So the Korean lady I work with, she's much more senior than me. So I find it quite awkward to talk about my faith, but yeah, it was just about, you know, chatting through the messenger and saying, oh, what do you do over the weekend? I do tell her I'm going to church, or I'm going to a weekend away. And at some point, and also just sent like a center linked for the evangelistic talk, even though she was actually saying she's interested, but even though I think at the last minute she pulled out and with like an excuse, but then that's kind of something we tried and kind of roughly know where she's at. So I think there are ways to keep in touch with people and just trying to be a bit more intentional. And I think at the point when I was sending the link for the talk, I was quite scared myself. That was of Wednesday evening. We just finished, I think, one of the Marx study. And I think that point I was asking my group to pray for me. And I think that also helped before I sent the email. So I didn't know whether she will kind of contact the HR or whether our relationship will become really bad. It's something that I'm very glad I did. And also I think staying in touch with the colleagues, it could be something personal like what Dara said, and we can share about. I do kind of share with my Korean colleague about, oh, I recently watched like a Korean drama, and that's a good talking material, or I made a Korean dish or something like that. So that's there are kind of small things in life that we can share about.
Yeah, just adding on that. So I feel like, especially here in the UK, there's like work-life balance. So sometimes colleagues are colleagues. I don't want to invest time and energy in them. So as a Christian, I think what I can do slightly different to other people is actually I want to spend time. I care about these people. So some of you might think, oh, it's really awkward to arrange course with colleagues. It's just not natural, but you'll be surprised how willing people are up for it, because I guess everyone's at home. It's frustrated and people are lonely. So actually, if you have a go, try to catch up with your colleague, just say, can we just have a quick call just to catch up how everything's going? I think they are willing to talk, and then there's the opportunity to share about what you've been doing. So I guess we've spent a lot of time doing Bible studies and attending Sunday services. That is just part of our life. So maybe just share that with your colleagues and tell them why we even care, why we do that, and that opens conversation. And in terms of what we were just saying, previously, we spent a lot of time with our colleagues in offices, but now we're staying at home. So it's worth thinking about our neighbors. So these are the people who are near us. Even though I don't have a dog, but I know people who have dogs in my neighborhood. So why don't just go for dog walks with those people? And then you have at least a good 30 minutes chat with the dog owner. So yeah, just be creative in terms of how you spend time and get to know people even in the lockdown.
Thanks. So
you can share a cake, things like that. Yeah.
So quite a few of us have shared, like, actually kind of building relationships with our friends, our colleagues, opens up more opportunities to kind of share as part of our catching up what we've done over the week, Bible truths we've heard, or what things that we've done with church family, kind of as part of our lives when we are catching up with our friends. So that itself gives opportunities. I guess some other ways you could chat is we could maybe chat about current topics like death, or like what really is the hope for the world, and kind of what our friend believes about these things. Or we could definitely try maybe once a while, just try ask your friend whether they're up for kind of a direct kind of gospel, looking at the gospel directly, one-to-one and so on. There's a few similar questions in the chat. Also, just to add on the how to share the gospel with your boss or colleagues, I think our boss has a role of finding out how we're doing regularly. I think it's part of their role. So I think as part of that, we could share what we've been doing outside work, and also how being a Christian, following God, like, shapes the way we work and our hopes for work. So there's some ideas to share with us.
I've just had one idea. Multiple conversations about wellness, meditation and so on. Why not just say, I find prayer really helpful. It really helps me to tell my God how I'm thinking, knowing that he's in charge and knows what I'm feeling. You don't need to always be asking them a question. Just share, this really works for me. A lot of people are interested in us, even if they're not interested in God. And if they can see that it's God that's driving us, again, maybe 5 out of 100 are going to ask. I'm going to take that further.
Cool. So there's 3 similar questions in chat on what happens if there's like repeated rejection? When is it okay to move on? How do you stop it being awkward? For example, if it keeps talking about Christianity and they're not interested, how do you deal with that?
I can start. I guess it's normal to have repeated rejection. It might be wise to stop talking to that person about Jesus, but you should not stop praying for that person. And then just pray for opportunities to come maybe in the future. So, well, yes, you can move on, but you don't move on because you can still pray. And also, talking is one way, and live a godly life is another way, even though it's really hard to share life at the moment. But I guess in terms of how to face difficulties, we don't really mourn, we don't really complain. That is also like good godly examples, like how we show our colleagues. Maybe someone else wants to add.
Yeah, I think I completely agree that there are certain instances where we probably should stop and maybe wait for the person to respond. But like you said, it doesn't mean that we stop entirely. So prayer, of course, but I suppose it doesn't mean that the relationship or the relationship between you and the person stops altogether. It's not that we are only friends just so that I can convert you or bring you to church. So I think it just goes back to our point about building those personal relationships and really caring for the person. And hopefully through the prayers and just constant follow-up and just finding out how they've been, they will be open eventually. And I think everyone's also goes through different phases, like seasons of life, and maybe that's just not the season for them yet.
I think it'd be a great thing if you feel that you've shared with someone so much that they ask you to stop doing it. I think we should aim for that. I think often for me, I tend to stop way before that I get to that point because I fear that the person has got to that point and I feel it's getting a bit awkward. I think it's totally fine to keep going. I mean, sorry, you need to be a little bit self-aware, but for me, maybe I'm too self-aware and I stop too early. I've never had someone come back to me and say, please stop talking about this. And maybe I need to persevere a bit further. But yeah, I think Joanne's right. Keep openly, just being open that you are a Christian, that God and following Jesus is the number one thing in your life. And if you just come up, just be open about that's your lifestyle. Give people lots of hooks, like fishing, I suppose. Most of the hooks are not going to get a bite, but some will.
I think one last question before we go back to breakout groups. So it's a question about family. It's hard to talk about faith without family, especially. So do you think it's appropriate that we kind of take a more active personal role in praying for them and chatting with them about the gospel, or wait for others to invite them to church and focus our time on our friends or colleagues?
I think my first immediate answer would be I really hope someone else will reach out to my family member because it's just so difficult. But I think the right answer should be that we all have a part to play, right? And it actually doesn't quite matter who it is who, I guess, goes for it. But ultimately, that they too become part of God's family. I actually don't know the answer whether or not it's more appropriate for us. But I think if we truly care for them, we would want them to be safe regardless of who speaks to them. Sorry, I'm not sure if that makes sense.
You know, sometimes it might be another person needs to speak to them. Different families have different senses of sort of hierarchy and what respecting your parents looks like. So I know this looks different, but yeah, for some you might need someone same age or older. But you could pray, but also nudge them. You could say, "I really want to talk to you about Jesus." But then maybe be honest with them and say, "I'd really love it for you to meet, you know." Are there ways that they can meet other Christians in life? For my family, my mum was a Christian, my dad wasn't. And so it was a case of encouraging my dad to get involved in sort of men's groups at mum's church and just doing practical stuff together. He formed some friendships. There were a few people that annoyed him. There was one or two that he struck a chord with. And as that friendship developed, they naturally spoke about things. And actually now dad is a Christian and now we can talk about it. It wasn't going to be easy for him to hear it from me. It's a bit like, oh, I brought you up and now you're trying to tell me I should live life differently.
I'm similar. So my mom, she became a very strong Christian just through kind of us visiting a local church in Malaysia, a recommended local church in Malaysia. And she got to know the minister and his wife, all the aunties and the regulars. And I was only back for a short visit in December. So I've came back, and over time, all the others back home in the local church helped her to grow into a very mature Christian.
Yeah. I don't know how often do you speak to your parents nowadays. I wasn't very good at catching up, like getting in touch with parents regularly. So since lockdown, I was telling my parents if they want to meet once a week to read the Bible, and then they said yes. So that is how I started reading the Bible with my parents. So my mom is a Christian, my dad is not. So at the moment, my dad is not really interested in engaging in conversations whatsoever, but we're still meeting up once a week. So maybe that's something you can think about. But I know it might not work for all families. I also know people who ask their friends to read Bible with their parents. If it's too awkward to speak to your parents, maybe it's worth thinking about. Is there anyone else, maybe from your IGG group, that can you can introduce to your parents and maybe do one-to-ones with your parents?
Thanks. So I think now we should, it'd be good to spend time, the last minutes until 5, back in our groups to kind of process what we've heard and also think about it for ourselves with the people we are in contact with.